This is the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy. Independent news commentary with a California perspective. Season 7, Episode 6. Recall the San Francisco School Board. A conversation with community leader Joel Engardio. When Mayor London Breed invoked the shelter-in-place orders March 16, 2020, all schools in San Francisco were closed, public, private, and parochial. But 1 year later, the 127 public schools are still closed to their 59,944 students, while private and parochial school kids have been back in class since late 2020. Public school students have had to make do with inadequate distance learning on iPads, laptops, and computers. Their frazzled parents have had to remain at home to care for their children, juggling their own jobs. The 7-member elected school board has proved unable to strike a deal to reopen the schools with the teachers' union. However, they did find time to propose changing the names of 44 of the public schools in an exercise of woke culture that made San Francisco an international laughingstock. Schools named after Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt fell under the axe of cancel culture. When it was learned that the same changes and the name changes had not been based on historian input, but sloppy Wikipedia searches, there was a public outcry that the board was derelict in its duty to the kids of San Francisco. An exasperated Mayor Breed supported the city attorney in bringing a lawsuit against the school board to compel them to open the schools. Parents at their wits' end with the board are backing a community-based petition drive to recall the school board members. Enter Joel Engardio, our guest today. He's working with the community to make the recall petition drive a success. Joel is a community activist. He is vice president of Stop Crime San Francisco, which is a broad-based group aiming to reduce crime and prevent crime. It is also aiming to make politicians more accountable, as well as the criminal justice system. Joel is a graduate of Michigan State University with a bachelor's degree in journalism and history. He also holds a master's degree in public administration from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Joel, welcome to the show. And first, let me thank you very much for your service to the community.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your service in doing this podcast. I think it's important to get the information out to residents of San Francisco about all the great things going on in the city and, you know, understanding how the city works. So I'm really happy to be here.
Well, thank you very much, Joel. Why don't you take a couple of moments and tell us about yourself?
Sure. I grew up in Michigan, a Midwestern kid, but I came to San Francisco like many people do, you know, seeking a better life, having a dream. I came here as a journalist and, you know, came here to report, cover City Hall, cover this great city, but also came here for personal reasons. I'm a gay man. So I was a gay kid growing up in Michigan, where, you know, in the 1980s, when it wasn't a great place to be a gay kid growing up. And I saw San Francisco always as a dream of a place to go where I could live my best life. And so I remember coming here in 1998 and seeing a poll that said 36% of Californians supported same-sex marriage. And I remember looking at that number and, you know, by today's standards, a very low number. I mean, the vast majority of the people at that time did not want me to have the right to marry. But I saw it with such optimism because I thought, wow, 36% are actually in favor of this? That's amazing. Because coming from Michigan, I'd be, you know, be surprised if it was 2 or 3% in favor. I thought, we're making some headway here. And I remember it, in 1998, I was only 25 years old, and I thought to myself, I'm going to be able to marry in my lifetime. That's what my thought. And I thought maybe in my 60s, I'll be able to marry. But it happened much sooner than that. I was able to legally marry in my 40s. So,
well, that's, yeah. I like your attitude. I like, because your philosophy is obviously the glass is always half full.
And that's right.
And I'm in complete agreement with that philosophy of the glass is always half full. Well, congratulations, Joel. I'm glad that you found your you found yourself and you found happiness here in San Francisco. So now let's launch into the school board recall, you've taken a major leadership issue, and of course the school board recall is likely to become the major political issue here in San Francisco. So tell us all about it.
Sure. And I think let's look at the larger view as to why are we recalling the school board? You know, we talked about how I came to San Francisco trying to, you know, chase a dream and live my best life. But we're in a situation now where lots of families, you know, all kinds of families, same-sex spouses with kids and straight people with kids, like you, across the gamut, are wanting to raise their children in San Francisco and having a very difficult time because they're finding the school system is really not serving their needs. We're seeing the flight of families from San Francisco, and that's not good for our city. And so I think it's very important that we get the schools right, that the schools are a place that attract families and make them want to stay in San Francisco, because that is like essential to our city's future. So that's the big picture. That's what's at stake when we talk about recalling the school board. And so why is the school board failing us, as, you know, right now? Because they're not focused on the essential of just teaching children. They're spending a lot of time pursuing other ideological pursuits when for a year schools have been closed. Now, they were closed for good reason at the start of the pandemic. We want to keep everyone healthy and safe. But we're seeing now, a year into it, many private schools have been open for many months and very low transmission. Things are very safe. We're seeing the CDC, other scientists, you know, the science says it's safe, you know, to have kids in school. And it's becoming increasingly damaging to children to be stuck in home, and especially at a very young age, and not socializing and stuck on Zoom and screen time and really falling behind. And adding to that, the parents are so frustrated and at wit's end having to work from home and then help their kids through school. So it's just bad all around. And there doesn't seem to be a reason why we're not putting the kids back in school, except for this school board has not made it a priority, has dragged their feet, you know, for ideological reasons. They even, you know, a year ago, they had the opportunity, I guess last summer in June, they had the opportunity to hire a consultant to really plan out, you know, for when it was safe to open the schools. And they rejected that consultant just because that consultant had at one time worked with charter schools. So, you know, so it's an ideology that for whatever reason, the charter school was evil and therefore we can't hire this person to help us with our problem. Mm-hmm. But by refusing that, they didn't create their own plan. So we're in a mess. So I think that's why the recall is necessary, to kind of reset things and let's get the school board back on track.
Now tell us about this lawsuit. I mean, it's unbelievable that the city of San Francisco is suing its own school board to try to compel them to comply with state law. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's, you know, this people, like a frustrated parent would say, why can't the mayor do something? Why can't the supervisors do something? Because they can't. The school board is directly elected by the people. It has its own power through the state law, through the state education charter, through our city charter. So once they're elected, they can do whatever they want. No one can step in, you know. So this lawsuit is one attempt at challenging the school board based on state law, because the concept is they're derelict in their duty because a state law was passed that all school boards in San Francisco should create a plan when it was prudent to do so to open schools. And then, of course, our school district did not. So that's the essence of that lawsuit. But ultimately, there's very little we can do to change the course of the school board because the people elected them and they have the full power to run things the way they see fit until we kick them out of office or recall them.
How did we, the voters, get it so wrong with the school board? I mean, is this a problem throughout all elected offices in San Francisco, or is this a problem that's really unique to the school board?
Well, you know, in San Francisco, we have a lot of what I call low information voters. And don't take that as offense. Like, I'm not, our voters and our populace are very educated, highly educated people, very engaged on national issues, follow the news, understand what's going on. But when I say low information voter, it means they don't have all the information or they're distracted by national issues and they're not quite understanding or paying attention to what's going on locally. And therefore, when they're presented with a ballot with 10, 15 candidates for school board, you know, they have low information. They don't know who the people are. And so therefore what happens is a large percentage of the electorate leaves it blank. So only about 40% of voters in San Francisco are actually voting for the school board. So that's number one. And then those who do vote for the school board, they may not understand who is actually running, but they rely on what's called slate cards, or it's an endorsement from a third party. Mm-hmm. Maybe the local Democratic Party sent out an official piece of mail that says here are the school board candidates we endorse. And so, San Francisco is a Democrat town. It's only less than 9% Republican, so we are entirely run by Democrats. And so, if you're a low information voter and you're a Democrat, you see what the local party says, and like, oh, I trust that, I'll vote for them, without realizing that in San Francisco, there are what I call a million shades of Democratic blue. And it's very important to know the distinction between one shade of blue versus another shade of blue, because they're not all the same. And when the local Democratic Party is controlled by one particular shade of blue, they will only endorse candidates within that shade of blue. And it may be a shade of blue that is much more radical than your just general liberal Democrat, because the shades of blue can range from President Biden all the way through to AOC and even off the chart radical socialist Democratic blue. So you need to understand which shade of blue is running the local party and what candidates they're endorsing, because those are the candidates that win, because in a low information race, people just knee-jerk rely on whatever the Democratic Party endorses. Mm-hmm. That's how we got this crop of school board members. Now I think people are waking up and thinking, how did I vote for this person? I can't believe what they're doing. You know, so therefore the recall, or try to vote them out next time.
Now, you know, we're fortunate in California that we do have the recall mechanism in place. There are only 19 states out of the 50 states in the union. There are 19 states and the District of Columbia that permit recalls. California was one of the early states to adopt recalls in 1911 under Hiram Johnson, who was a progressive Republican governor. Sounds a bit of an oxymoron in today's concept, but in any case, in 1911, the voters of California brought in the recall mechanism. And of course, California has one of the most liberal recall mechanisms of the 19 states that do permit recall. So tell us about the mechanics. How are you going about this recall? I mean, on the positive side, it really speaks to the strength of democracy that voters can take action and say, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. I may have voted for you a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever, but you just haven't lived up to what you promised to be, so I'm going to recall you. I'm going to replace you. Tell us how that recall mechanism is going to work in this case with the school board.
Well, recalls are very hard. You had mentioned we've had them in California since 1911. Do you know since 1911 how many recalls have been successful? 3%.
My goodness.
It's almost impossible to reach. So we have the luxury of the recall. It's almost impossible to pull off. Now, in San Francisco locally, never been done. The last time a recall even qualified for the ballot was almost 40 years ago. It was when Dianne Feinstein was mayor. And old timers might recall, it was 1983, a recall qualified for the ballot. Now, since then, there's been many attempts at recalls, but they've never qualified for the ballot. And why they didn't qualify is you need 10% of the registered voters to sign a petition. So in San Francisco today, that means you need about 51,000 signatures to get a recall qualified. In reality, you need to get about 70,000 signatures to be safe. You need like a margin of error because a lot of them will be thrown out. So now think about that, getting 70,000 signatures on a good day, let alone during a pandemic, because the signatures have to be pen on paper in person. They cannot be, you can't just sign an online petition. It doesn't count. So the bar is very high to qualify for the recall, which is why we don't see them very often. And we're in a pandemic. So there's a lot of hurdles. And then the last hurdle is that we have 7 school board members, but 4 of them were just elected or reelected a few months ago. They were seated in January, a couple months ago. The law states that you cannot recall someone until 6 months into their term. So 4 of the members right now aren't even eligible for recall until July, can't even start the process until July. Mm-hmm. So there are only 3 that are eligible, and it's those 3 that are being the recall is focused on right now. They happen to be the president and vice president of the school board, which some would argue are perhaps the most problematic of the bunch. So in that regard, it's good that they were eligible. So the recall currently is only focusing on those 3. And getting the 70,000 signatures will be a hurdle. One workaround because of pen on paper is that petitions will be emailed to folks that you can print, download and print at home and then sign it with pen and then mail it back or drop it off at a designated location.
Okay. Well, let's assume that we get the 70,000 signatures. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that, at least 51,000 of them qualify so that the recall qualifies for the ballot. So do you have a time limit for collecting these signatures?
Yes. So here's the timeline. If we started today, and we are, and the thing is, when I say start, there's still about 30 days of legal maneuvering. You have to submit your paperwork to the state. Then you have to have a 200-word statement that has been sent by certified mail to each of the recall, the people who are being recalled. And they have 10 days to respond. And then there's another 10-day window when the Department of Election reviews your petition, and then 10 days to make corrections. So when that's all said and done, at least a good month goes by. So we're not going to actually see actual petitions that you can sign until probably the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. So then start the clock from April 1. You have 160 days then to collect your 70,000 signatures, of which 51,000 need to be confirmed. So you have 160 days. And then once you turn in your signatures and they're all confirmed and the Department of Elections says, well, you've got 51,000 qualified signatures, then they have up to 100 days to schedule a special election. That is the recall. So the sooner you send in the signatures in that 160-day window, the sooner you could get an election scheduled. So it's looking like the earliest that you would see a recall on the ballot would probably be late October, early November, and potentially bleeding into December or even January next year. That's the window of when you would expect to actually vote on the recall. And by the way, when you vote on a recall locally, it's very different than a state recall. People are probably aware that there might be a recall of the governor, in process.
Yes.
And when those happen, you vote to recall the governor, and then at the same time, there's a whole slew of candidates who are running to replace the governor. Then you get to vote on the replacement. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works locally. Uh-huh. Locally, you only vote to recall. There are no alternatives. You don't vote for a replacement candidate. You just vote to recall, and then the mayor appoints someone to fill the seat that was recalled, and then that person has to stand at the next election. So it's a different process locally.
Okay, so thank you for pointing that out. Obviously, yeah. As you said, it's been 40 years since San Francisco's had a recall. So thank you, Joel, for pointing out that mechanism. It sounds as though you have 5 months approximately to get your 70,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's going to work out to about 12,000-15,000 signatures a month,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that is doable, I would think. You know, that's not beyond the realms of possibilities.
Well, one caveat, by the way, we're recalling three commissioners for the Board of Education. Each person we're recalling needs their own 70,000 signatures. So it's not like you can sign one petition to recall all three. So you're going to have to sign three petitions. So when you print and download, you're going to print and download three different petitions. You're going to sign it three times, right? Three each paper. You're going to sign it and then mail it back. So just that's another thing. You have to make sure you're signing three different petitions. Each named person has their own petition.
I'm glad you're explaining this, Joel, because there's been a lot of reporting in the San Francisco Chronicle, the local press, and of course TV reports on this, but they haven't gotten as granular and as specific as you. So thank you for explaining that to us.
And then I just want to point out that as far as is it doable, right? It'd be very hard, right? Because you can't. There's no one at muni stations anymore. There aren't thousands of people flooding out of the ballpark anymore, where you normally would stand to get the petition signed. We're relying on emailing it to folks. But this, I just want you to know that the organizers of this recall, within 3 days of announcing that they had started the process, they received 7,000 signups on their website for people saying, "I want to help." That's 7,000 people who are definitely going to sign the petition once it's emailed to them. But think about this. If each, just those 7,000, if they just commit to getting 10 people, 10 neighbors, 10
right.
family members, 10 friends to also sign the petition, you are at 70,000. Boom. Done.
Yeah. So
right?
It's
going to happen. It's uh-huh. really going to happen. We're going to make history.
You're going to make history because you're the guy who's been leading the charge on this. So kudos to you.
But we have to say, you know, Siva Raj and Autumn Luizhin and many other parents are officially running the. I'm just advising and helping and promoting the effort. But yeah, there's many parents who are running this recall, and it will be history making.
Well, that's very exciting, Joel. Now, Joel, tell me, is there a plan to abolish the school board and to make it a non-elective board?
So that's a great question. So, early on, you know, when many, many, many community members and upset parents were all like, What do we do? And there were many ideas being bandied about, and recall was one of them. And another idea was a charter amendment, and our charter is our city constitution, but an amendment to that constitution to change the way the school board is even formed,
mm-hmm.
Which means, because when I talked about the low information voter and the down ballot race, and no one knows who the school board members are, say we recall them now and we get some good ones in for now, no guarantee that a few election cycles later we might be in the same mess again. Maybe we need structural change. We need to actually mm-hmm. change the way the school board is formed. And so if you look at other major cities, Chicago, Boston, New York, the schools are run by the mayor. The mayor appoints qualified people to run the schools. Everyone knows who the mayor is. And so when the mayor runs for office, the mayor has an education platform. People mm-hmm. know what they're signing up for. They know what they're getting. And they can hold someone accountable if the schools aren't run well, versus now you don't know what you're getting, right? So there's a case to be made for mayoral control of the school board. And so that is another option. I see it as a two-step process. I think the recall is necessary to deal with the immediate problem and get rid of the most problematic members of the school board, because things are in dire straits. So we need to do that. And that's something we'll know by the end of this year. Now, as for changing the structure of the school board, I think that's also necessary for the long term, right? To make sure that we have a solid school board for years to come. Now, a charter amendment cannot be a special election. It can only appear on a regularly scheduled election. So the next regular election is not until June of 2022. That's the primary. So the soonest we could even determine this structural change would be next June. So I think it's prudent to focus on the school board recall now and then work on this charter amendment for June of next year to change how the school board is formed. Now, interesting note, people will say, oh, how dare you, it's anti-democracy, you're taking away the right of people's votes and no one's going to want to go for that. I don't think a lot of people realize that schools in San Francisco were not direct elected until 1971. The school board was appointed by the mayor until 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And appointed by the mayor and then confirmed by the electorate, but the mayor appointed qualified people. It wasn't until 1971 that was changed. So there's precedent here.
Yeah.
And when you look at other major cities that have appointed school boards, like Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor there, she just did a New York Times article where she was pointing her finger at San Francisco and saying, see the mess they have there? She said, you know, we're able to open our schools in Chicago because I can run them. It would be a disaster if we had an elected school board. So I think there's some wisdom in looking and going back to the old days of the appointed school board member, because you can set qualifications and you can make sure you get the right people in the job.
Well, Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago is absolutely right. I mean, I hate for San Francisco to be pointed out as the bad boy or as the example of what you don't want to be in the rest of the country. But unfortunately, we brought it on ourselves and we need to correct
That's
it.
Right.
So most importantly, you and the coalition that you're leading is taking those important steps to bring that about. So, Joel, in our closing minutes of this podcast, I know that you had a couple of other issues to touch on. So, fire away.
Sure. Well, you know, this school board issue has kind of activated a lot of residents who might not have been so in tune with local politics, and they're wondering, how did the city get to be the way it is? I don't understand. You know, so I have a program called SF Politics 101. Where I outline for folks, I tell the city's history, and it's good for old timers and newcomers, you know, to understand how we got to be the way we are. And I talk about our million shades of Democratic blue, because that's really what we have. And I delineate out what are the different shades, what do they mean, how does City Hall work, why do we have a $13 billion budget and nothing works in our city? So I explain how the money is spent and. You know, so it's a good overview. It's about a 30-minute webinar with narrative storytelling and images and slides and graphs, and then about 30 minutes of Q&A. So I'm doing my next public one on March the 16th. So if people want to register for that, they can just send me an email, info@engardio.com. It's engardio.com. And I tend to do big public ones about once a month. So if you miss the 16th, just send me a note and I'll let you know when the April session or the May session is. And I also do private sessions for groups of like 20 or 30, maybe companies or schools or other associations want their members to hear the presentation. So I invite your listeners to learn about what makes San Francisco politics work.
Absolutely. And, you know, people have had a year sitting at home during these lockdowns to think about what's going on here in the city. And, you know, we have, of course, we have a higher crime rate than we should have. We have an out-of-control homelessness problem. And I think voters generally, particularly given the fact that we've spent a year at home ruminating on these problems, I think voters are ready to take by the bull by the horns and to change things. So thank you very much for that public service. And again, listeners, please go to info@engardio.com to attend Joel's webinar. I, for one, will be there on the 16th. It's the day before St. Patrick's Day. So I, for one, will be there, and I hope you will too. And Joel, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I just appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this podcast. And I will let everyone know this is the podcast to listen to in San Francisco.
Well, Joel, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank you for explaining the school board recall to us. I think you've given our listeners, more importantly, hope that people like you and your coalition are taking action to make some changes, to make necessary changes, that we don't have to put up with the craziness that we've seen at the school board or in other wings of government. So once again, kudos to you, kudos to your coalition, and we'll look forward to having you back here at the San Francisco Experience as the recall campaign unfolds.
Thanks, Jim.
Very good. And listeners, please take a moment to visit our website, which is www.thesanfranciscoexperiencepodcast.com, to subscribe to the podcast. It's free to do so, and it ensures that all future episodes come directly to your inbox. You can also follow my blog, listen to past episodes, send email, peruse my book, or listen to fascinating people like Joel Engardio, who really sums up all that's good about San Francisco and all that's promising about San Francisco. Again, Joel, thank you very much for participating today. We look forward to another occasion when you and your colleagues will come on the show and give us an update.
Absolutely.
Very good. This has been the San Francisco Experience with your host, Jim Herlihy, reporting from America's favorite city, San Francisco.